We'll go ahead and open in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much. We praise you for your wonderful mercy on us, for sending your Son. We do not deserve your mercy. We don't deserve his sacrifice, that he was willing to sacrifice his life for us. The only way that we can repay that favor is to surrender our own lives. Lord, I just pray that you would fill me with power from the Holy Spirit as I preach your word. Help all of us who hear to be of open hearts, of open minds to receive your word. We thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could open to John chapter 21, verse 18 through 22. Before I start, I just wanted to let you know my sending church, the pulpit, if you ever watch any of the videos, you can see it's considerably lower than this one. So I guess the very top of it is right about it where my hips are. So because when you're signing, you want to have as much space as possible. You know, right now, make sure the front row can see me. And we have some people who come and they're short, so the top of the pulpit also lifts off so everyone can see them clearly. But that's all right. I'm tall enough for it, so. Okay, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This passage, Jesus, it's one of the last nights with his disciples, and he's speaking with Peter. And just before this, he had asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And now this last part, he's telling Peter what's going to happen to him. Next it says, "This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Verse 20, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also had leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, And what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him," so he's talking about John, and he's saying, what will he do? Now, Jesus speaks directly to Peter and says, this is what's in your future. This is how you'll die. The Bible doesn't exactly say how. Some traditions say that he was crucified upside down. Is that true? Is that not true? I don't know. But Jesus was explaining to Peter what Peter will do. He was explaining what his ministry will look like. You know, and when you're old, this is what's going to happen. And then Peter says, well, you've told me what my future will be like. This is what I will do. And then Peter starts to get curious about others too. What about him? Well, I see John over there, and he says, what will John do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. If I want him to just sit here till I get back. I mean, he wrote the book of Revelation. John was the oldest, the longest living of all the disciples. He was the last disciple to die. Jesus showed him Revelation, showed him what the future will look like. Jesus fulfilled that. He came back just for John. This is what I want to talk about tonight. It says, if he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He says to Peter, don't worry. Don't be thinking about John. Don't be worrying about what he'll do. Think about what you will do. What is your ministry? You, focus on you following me. If John follows me or not, that's not your concern. That's not your problem. That's his problem. Because he has to answer to God himself. So all I need for you to do is your part. He says, follow thou me. If John tarries, if he keeps going until the day of the Lord, that's great. But Peter followed Jesus Christ. And he did. He followed Christ until the day he died. Because he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. He wasn't obsessed on what other people were doing. He wasn't thinking about that all the time. And of course, we can care for others. We can express concern for others. But ultimately, we need to follow what Jesus Christ himself has called us to do individually. He wants us to focus on ourselves. What do you want me to do? That's what I'll do. Not gossip about others, not be concerned about others, not be talking about what other people are doing. This person's following the Lord, this person's not following the Lord, and all these comments and stories flying around. Jesus said, you follow me, and that's what I told you to do, right? And Peter had no answer to that. What are you going to say? That was the end of discussion. And sometimes people get real caught up in thinking about what other people are doing, and Jesus says, I want you to focus on yourself. If John has a real short life, or if he keeps going for a real long time, James was the first disciple to die, and John was the last to die. None of that should be concerned to Peter. Peter was called to do his work. He was the one who founded the first church in Jerusalem. He was the first preacher. 3,000 got saved in one day. Jesus says, I am the big rock, and you are the small stone. The church is founded on me, Jesus Christ. I'll keep it running. You know, all the churches that we see today, every single church that's out there, they started with Peter. That was the very first church, and the church has spread around the world. And I'm not talking about the universal church. Peter was the first pope, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the very first church in Jerusalem established there, and from there the gospel spread everywhere. The Jews were the first that the gospel was spread to, and then the Gentiles and the whole world. You know, the last 2,000 years of churches being established in every country, churches in every language. The gospel being preached to every nation and every tongue. That word tongue really means language. Language, our language, sign language, doesn't really use your tongue, but yes, we do move our mouths from time to time. Maybe voice is off, but we've still got movement going on. So I know some deaf people who actually don't move their mouths. Their face is just dead, and they just sign this way, and you go, what? Because you're trying to figure out, are they happy about it or not? But deaf from the Midwest tend to have, you know, a little bit more facial expression without moving their mouth much. And I say, oh, are you from the Midwest? I caught on to that pretty fast. Jesus says, you know, in every tongue, in every language, in every nation, the gospel will be spread. Sign language is a language. We have our own grammar structure. We have our own idioms. Aha. Sorry, interpreter failure there. We have our own idioms. You can express anything in sign language. It's the same function as a regular spoken language. It's also considered a tongue in the eyes of God. It is a spoken language used to distribute the gospel around the world. It is a language also. And all churches today, all around the world, those who preach the gospel can all be traced back to that original church with Peter in Jerusalem. the first one to speak, to preach the gospel, and from there it spread in the last 2,000 years of history. You know, I know some points the gospel seemed lost because of persecution. Maybe the records were destroyed, but God kept His word, and God has spread the gospel everywhere, to every corner of the earth. Now, if you look at the map, and you see Israel, and then you go all the way, the farthest corner that you possibly can get, on the other side of the map, you know, all the way to the west, all the way to the east, every island, every mountain, every hill, everywhere, people are reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that includes the really small, isolated communities in every nation. It includes deaf people as well. Deaf people are the isolated community in America, the overlooked community. They don't hear the gospel. How do you communicate? The first deaf church that I ever heard of was in the 1980s. Ah, a deaf church. There. And you start to research. Well, they've been preaching the gospel and people have gotten saved. And that was here in America. No deaf churches before that, but God surely had a desire and a goal to reach every nation, every language, every generation, every person on earth. That all started because Peter did his job. That's all. Simple. Jesus told Peter, do your job. Focus on what you are supposed to do. That's all I'm requiring of you. Don't worry about what John is supposed to do. Don't worry about what James will do. Don't worry about what the other apostles will be doing. You know, what other people will be doing. Focus on what God wants you to do. I look at that and I think, well, what has God called you to do? What is God leading you to do? As an individual, as yourself, one person. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you or the person on the pew behind you. Think just about yourself, me. One finger pointed at yourself. What are you supposed to be doing? And John, his role was very important. Jesus picked his own 12 disciples. He picked them out himself. And then he said, just do what you're supposed to do. What is that to be? In other words, none of your business. You do what you're supposed to do. You focus on your own ministry, on what the Lord is leading for you to do. Go ahead and look at John chapter 3, verse 26 through 30. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. These people came running up to John and they said, we've got a great concern. That man, you know, you called him Christ. He's taking all of your men. All the people are following him. And John's response was, man receiveth nothing except to be given from God. John was already following what Jesus had told Peter. He said, what is that to me? John wasn't concerned. Oh, more people following Jesus than following me? John was thrilled. He was pleased with that. Says, he must increase, but I must decrease. shows his passion, his goal, his motivation. He says, no man receiveth anything except it come from God. What was given to the Lord, to Jesus Christ himself? Jesus came to earth to do his work, to fulfill what he was called to do. This is God become man. He grew up, he was born, he died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. That's what he came for. He's doing his job. Now John the Baptist says, what did I come to earth for? I was here to prepare the way for the Lord. I was here to preach, to let people know, to repent. To be ready to hear what Jesus Christ has to say. He's the one that's coming next. Prepare yourselves. Get ready for him. And when John died, when he was beheaded, he had done his job. He did what the Lord called him to do. He wasn't concerned what he was doing, you know, and jealous and constantly looking out for his ministry. He did his duty to the death. Jesus Christ did his own duty until his death. Do your own duty until your death. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, did his duty until their death. Many men and women have gone before us who have lived for the Lord until they've gone home, till their death. But not all of them did that. There are many Christians who have become backslidden. Many Christians who have decided to quit, to give up. You know, the Lord showed me, he called me to do this and to be involved here, and I've gone ahead, and they hadn't examined what sacrifice they would have to make. They hadn't counted the cost. The Bible says a man who's ready to build a tower, and he starts building and he establishes the foundation and then realizes, I don't have enough money. And he runs out. Everybody mocks him for the thing that was half done. What God has led you to do, what God has opened the door for you to do, what he's called you to do. Are you ready to pay the full price? Are you ready to sacrifice, surrender to the Lord? Examine yourself, you know, Lord, show me, if it's from me, what do you expect from me? The Bible also says, except the Lord build the house, the man worketh in vain. The Lord can't bless his work if it's not led by him. Unless you let God lead all the work that you're doing, how can he bless it? This church belongs to God. He's the one that's building it. You know, all of our work, we're just his tools. He's developing us. Me, myself, you as individuals, we all belong to the Lord. He's the one who's built up your lives. He's the one who's put structure there. He's the one who's prepared you. He's the one who has meted you out, made you fit for his work and to be used by him. We just have to be willing to let him do that work. You see, Pontius Pilate, the one who told Jesus, he said, you know, I have the power to release you. I have the power to crucify thee. You know that? And Jesus' answer says, you have no authority except it be given from heaven. All of that authority, the authority of the entire world, anyone in the world that has supposed authority, it was from the Lord. It was given to them. Your skills, your ability, your gifts, everything that you have is from the Lord. Your family, your children, your husband, your wife, all of that is from the Lord. Your background, your history, your upbringing, where you come from, that's from the Lord. We have no power except the Lord has given it to us. You say, oh, I did it all myself. I earned it all myself. I did all that hard work myself. No. All that you have is from the Lord. And you should already recognize that. That everything that you have doesn't belong to you. Even the world, those who aren't saved, everything that they have, it's all still from the Lord. They just don't recognize it yet. They've overlooked that truth. But we as Christians, we should recognize that. If not, there's something wrong. Now you see, Jesus Christ told Peter, if he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? If you look at other Christians and you're constantly with your head bobbing back and forth, you're not going to get very far. The one thing that you should be concerned about is your own work, your own calling. Peter did his work and you see the result. He established that first church, the first church in history, in Jerusalem. That line that we have all the way to here today, all over world history, you know, and tomorrow maybe a new church will be established. Maybe a new one, and they all have that line back to that first church with Peter. We have the book of Revelation because John did his job. Jesus Christ was able to meet with the Jewish people and to lead so many of them to the Lord because John the Baptist did his job. We're able to get to heaven because of that Christian who shared the gospel with us. They did their job. You know, and so many people did their job not knowing that you would be here in the future, and you're doing so much not knowing what fruit you'll have in the future just because you did your job. So now is the time to evaluate, to examine ourselves. What's the Lord led you to do? Or are you too busy? Are you too concerned with other people? What are they doing? What are they doing for the Lord? What's that person doing? That is not your concern. Your only concern is yourself. Do your work. Let them answer to God. They follow the Lord, great. If not, of course, try to help them as you can. That's part of your job. But if they're not willing, that's on them. Focus on what you need to be doing for the Lord. And they will get their reward one day. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, for challenging us. We see many different examples in Scripture of those who have done their work, what you've called them to do, and they've served faithfully until they've died. We see many other examples in Scripture of men who failed, who didn't continue in their calling, what you had called them to do. And Lord, I want to be part of that first crowd. I pray that you would use us as fully as possible, that you would be glorified through us doing our job, what we're called to do. Pray that you would increase, that we would decrease, that we not be focused on what other people are doing, but focus on our calling in you, focus on ourselves. I pray that you would show us specifically and lead us in your will. We thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.